New technology commentator Steve McCabe, good morning to you.
Good morning, Catherine.
We're going to begin with cell phones on aeroplanes. Don't tell me it's now becoming more possible for people to be whittering away.
If anything, it's actually going in the opposite direction.
Excellent.
And yes, a lot of people are very pleased to hear this. What got me thinking about this was my wife and daughter went back to the United States a couple of months ago. And when they were flying in the US, they were told everything had to be not just took to aeroplane mode, but actually shut down completely. This is a new development. And it got me thinking because, you know, I'm a tech geek, I'm a science teacher, I'm also a commercial pilot. So I thought, we're pushing all my buttons here. So I thought, I need to look into this a bit further and see why this is being done. And the evidence I'm finding so far, so I'm going to have a bit of a rant about this, basically, is there is no evidence whatsoever to suggest that electronic devices, including cell phones, are doing any damage whatsoever to aeroplane navigation systems, flight instruments, you name it. It appears to be safe.
I know, but just as a rider, we're told to turn them off, and you're not suggesting we don't turn them off.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I mean, we also know that, you know, pilot is in command of the ship, and you obey his instructions. I am not saying to anybody listening to this, Steve said it's perfectly okay to put your phones on. I'm not going down that
Excellent.
Path.
Excellent. Can we reiterate this?
Yes, yes. This is my opinion, which is yet to be backed up by any kind of scientific evidence. However, unfortunately, there is also no evidence I'm seeing yet that says that they're actually causing problems.
Yeah, but wouldn't one want to violate on the side of safety and not find out the hard way?
Well, we can do this statistically. We can say that typically in your average year in the United States alone, there's millions of flights. Certainly millions of passengers on flights. There's going to be some carrying devices with them, carrying their iPods or their iPads, whatever it might be, who either innocently or completely scoff law-wise don't turn them off. It's going to happen. There's been not a single instance of a plane falling out of the sky because of that.
We don't want it to happen to find out that, you know, on the odd occasion, it may interfere with our instruments.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. However, there's an enormous double standard going on here. On the one hand, you've got the American carriers being told, turn these damn things off. Don't just power them down for aeroplane mode. Kill them. At the same time, last year, United Airlines started handing out Zunes. This was supposed to be Microsoft's iPod thing that was absolutely horrible. They were actually handing those out to passengers. And American Airlines have now actually started issuing iPads to their pilots to use instead of paper navigation charts.
So what happens? Because you've got to turn stuff off at takeoff, and then you're allowed to turn some things on and put them in flight mode. What are the different things? I mean, I just want to turn the thing off and do nothing, frankly. I certainly don't want to have someone whittering on doing business for 4 hours next to me flying wherever. What are we told to do when we get on a plane?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do sympathise with the whole stuff off. My dad loves playing golf because no one can reach him by phone when he's on the golf course. The plane should be the same kind of concept. The basic idea is, at the moment, they're saying from doors locked to up to 10,000 feet, which is when your safety belt comes off, then everything is off. Everything shut down, completely powered off. Above 10,000 feet, anything that's not emitting radio waves, anything that's not transmitting, you can use. That's kind of like the two stages we go through. And then on the way back down, the inverse is true. Below 10,000 feet, coming in for landing, everything shut off again. That's the rule. Now, any device that you've got in your pocket is going to be able to put out a small degree of electromagnetic radiation. It's going to happen. Even if it's, say, the electric shavers that are actually listed in the FCC, FAA's regulations as being permissible, or personal voice recorders, these all put out a bit of rays. And supposedly, they're supposed to be small enough that any other device around them can handle that. So that means if you buy a cordless telephone, your electronic devices are safe from it. However, a $150 million Boeing jet apparently isn't. I'm not completely convinced that that's logically consistent.
Do you just want them to be honest and say, or let's not say honest, because I have no idea what their research shows or the reasons that they have determined what they do, but could they just say, actually, we just don't want you to use them, or the convenience of other passengers, please do not blather on your phone?
That would seem to be a more honest solution. I mean, the reality is that they can't. I mean, here's what we look at. They can't be that dangerous. If they were, we wouldn't be allowed to take them on the planes. I mean, nobody says, okay,
turn mine off. We're told to power them off.
Of course.
So what's it emitting then?
Absolutely nothing. It's a brick at that point.
Right.
But it's like saying, okay, we're going to let you take your gun on the plane, but please promise us you're not going to shoot it. Cabin crew don't come around and actually check your phone. The girl sitting in front of me on my flight this morning was taking a photograph out the window as we were going down the runway. I'm still alive. And cabin crew didn't pick up on that. So clearly,
but is there a difference between the one random doing it or the naughty, you know, I must disobey every rule I've ever been given individual doing it and whole plane loads of people all day, every day, thousands of flights doing it?
Conceivably, there is a difference. And unfortunately, that's the logic that's being used is we don't know. And so we better be careful. And that seems to be the extent of the logic. But unfortunately, as more and more evidence is coming out saying it doesn't seem to be an issue, they're actually clamping down tighter.
Okay, well, I know where I sit, and I think you've got the message.
Very clearly. And just to reiterate, mine will be switched off on the way home tonight.
You.
And
so you need to sit next to me. People have to wait till the last minute, till we're taxiing along the runway, and they're still doing their whatever. And it's just like, turn it off.
I'm not that
This
important.
Isn't about you, Sunshine. Turn it off.
No, nobody needs to hear from me that urgently.
I'm being told to calm down. I've had some in-flight agitation.
Fair enough.
Twitter and Facebook will be abuzz with this as we speak.
Oh, yes. It's the end of the year. It's time to do our end-of-year wrap-up list.
Not air rage. It's December. We're all a bit stressed.
It's on-air rage. There you
it's
go.
It's on-air rage. Beautiful.
Yeah. So like I said, end of the year. We're doing our end-of-year wrap-up. So we're getting a bit crazy here, obviously. But, you know, but people are starting to look at what people are searching for on Google.
Yeah.
It's obvious. You know, it's like meta-searching, isn't it? You're searching for what you're searching for. And apparently, I mean, this is going to come as such a shock to everyone. I can't believe we're presenting this in news. The number one search term among Kiwis in 2011, Rugby World Cup. As though you really need to go onto the computer to find more information out about it. Everyone's going, oh, I hear there's some rugby in this country this month. I really should research that.
As if we couldn't get a bit more specific than this.
Yes. The match that's going on down the street from me tonight. Yeah, I mean, but it also shows your priorities. Number four was apparently Pippa Middleton. Doesn't specify which part of her, obviously, but, you know. And one of my favourites, though, number six.
That's because they can't spell derriere.
Yes, more than likely. There you go. There are words they can spell, though. But we're not allowed to say those on the air, are we? One of my favourites, number six, was Nook Minute.
Nook Minute.
I know.
That's very much a Twitter thing. Nook Minute. 20-minute, Twitter people are very upset about the mainstreaming of Nick Minute, whatever you say.
I not being a Kiwi, I wouldn't even like to attempt. But the funny thing about that one is it actually shows one of the powers of YouTube. You know, this guy Levi Hawken apparently put this video up, and apparently this was not meant to be serious. This was a character he was trying to develop, and apparently this as they say these days went viral. I hate that expression, but apparently it's relevant. It suddenly went across the internet before he was ready for it to. It makes you realise one thing's go on YouTube.
Nick Minute,
it's all over the place.
I can't say it. I don't have the thing going on.
But let's not. It's horrible. But again, I mean, the other one's very easy to look for is on Twitter. Lots of people put these little hashtags at the end of their tweets. Mm. You know, little hash symbol followed by a word. It's supposed to say, you know, this is the context of my tweet. And the number one this year was Egypt, which shows, you know, that obviously. We certainly get the impression, at least, that the revolution in Egypt was partly mediated by Twitter. So, you know, I mean, the obvious conclusion there, you know, Hosni Mubarak was president and Nick Minute, he wasn't,
I know. We really aren't saying it right, Steve.
You might not be, I'm certainly not. I know
pronunciation
that.
Pronunciation guide, please, from anyone out there. Someone sent me the pronunciation guide to the Icelandic volcano, so you can tell me how to pronounce Nick Minute.
Yes.
I think that's it, you don't say the K.
Is that right?
Nick Minute, yeah.
There you go, what she said. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, but like I say, Twitter makes it very, very easy. Just look for the most widely used hashtags. Number two, oddly enough, was a Charlie Sheen reference. It was Tiger Blood.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. Apparently some inane, blithering comment he made about my claws drip with...
Lordy, he made a few.
Yes, well, apparently that's the one that caught on. He said it, and Nick Minute, it's all over Twitter.
Nick Minute.
We have an official answer?
No, carry on.
I rather think we should move on as quickly as possible. I mean, one of the things that we can take out of all this, apparently number seven in the hashtags on Twitter was Super Bowl, which means clearly this is highly America-centric, as indeed much of the web is, let's face it. But the one that I did find very, very comforting, apparently number four was I Don't Understand Why, which is just, it makes me very, very comfortable. There's a lot of other people in the world feel that way. It's good to know I'm not the only one.
Excellent. Look, here we are. We're going to be speaking to Levi Hawken on our Christmas Eve show, which is 23rd this year, obviously, Friday. Oh. So we can get the ultimate pronunciation from the original.
The definitive.
Tracking Santa on the internet, is there anywhere GPS won't go?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic. I think a lot of people don't realise this, but this has been going on in various forms and predecessors since 1955. And what happened was a department store in the United States gave out a phone number for Santa Claus, and it appeared in the newspapers with a misprint. It actually went through to, what is it? It's this the North American Aerospace Defense Command. Exactly. He's got some bloke sitting there with his finger on the red button to launch nuclear missiles, answering the phone, and some little girl going, "Excuse me, can I talk to Santa Claus, please?"
I don't think that was an accident at all. Yeah.
You cynic. But God bless them. They took this. They decided that they would take their responsibilities very seriously. And they started forwarding these calls to Father Christmas himself, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And so for the longest time, NORAD were offering a phone line through to Father Christmas. They then started publishing, when TV took off, his location over on TV. And now, since, let's check our notes here, 1997, with the internet being what it is, we can now actually track Santa Claus on the web. It's absolutely brilliant. We're not quite sure how they do it. We believe it's something that Rudolph's nose emits. We're not totally certain. But going to www.noradsanta.org is your way to see exactly where Santa Claus is up to live on Christmas Eve.
Excellent.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Kids are all going to go to sleep now, aren't they, Steve?
Of course they are. Just like they always, we're always going to on Christmas
Eve. Thanks. Thanks, as always. Steve McCabe, technology commentator.